Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 1st of June, 2021. I can't figure it out either, y'all, honestly. I hope that if you had a long holiday weekend that you enjoyed it. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, because we were enjoying a long holiday weekend, which meant no Mondays with Marta Laro. We get the slightly less alliterative Tuesdays with Marta Laro, because I am here with John Marta Laro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good to be here.
I am so glad you're with me. You sound refreshed, so I'm going to presume you enjoyed your long weekend.
Yes, I did.
You sound ready to get after it, so let's get after it. They say where I'm from. You want to talk about buying a new computer.
Well, as the listeners know, I am intrigued by and eager to acquire a new M1 24-inch iMac, because my 21.5-inch iMac is very old and isn't going to run Big Sur. So I need to upgrade. And so I've been thinking deeply about the process that you go through mentally when you buy a new computer. Mm-hmm. And the process I go through, and the thing that started all this was noting that the new 24-inch iMac maxed out at 16 gigabytes of RAM. And, you know, after a decade of 16 gigabytes in my computers, I would have figured by now that we could go to 32, but there's probably some cost and some technical considerations. The M1 chip is probably more efficient. Dave Hamilton, in the not-so-recent past, told me a story about a MacBook Air that he had. I think it was an 11-inch that ran very nicely in 8 gigabytes of RAM. Mm-hmm. But you have to consider what you're running, and you have to consider what your tasks are going to be. And so the first thing you need to do when you're thinking about buying a new Mac primarily is what kind of tasks you're going to ask of it. If you're just going to be reading email and browsing the web and doing Zoom, then you're probably fine with 16 gigabytes of RAM and a 24-inch iMac. If, however, you're going to be editing 8K video, or you're going to be running a galactic simulation with 10 billion stars in rotation, then you might want to consider a heftier machine. And you look at the iMac, and it's really designed for the casual user. But the mentality is that we want to try to minimize our cost, but we want to maximize our performance, because, you know, we're all enticed by speed and memory and power. Mm-hmm. And so it can get into a situation where it's sort of like you're buying a new car, and you kind of like the looks and the convenience and the gas mileage of a Honda Civic. It's got good looks and the price is right. But you really wish you had a 650 horsepower V8 twin turbo and ceramic brakes.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't put those kinds of products on a Honda Civic.
But there's a difference between I want all that horsepower, I want a V10 engine, I want ceramic brakes, and the only place I'm ever driving this car is to work and to the store. And to karaoke. Like, if we're talking
That's
about
right.
me, I don't even drive to work. I drive to the store. I drive to karaoke. That's basically it. So, you know, in real life, like, what you need, and the reason I jump in here is because this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and that is technological honesty and what people actually need. But the thing that I have, the question I have to pose to you about this is that, yes, the new iMac maxes out at 16 gigabytes of RAM, but the new iMac doesn't have an Intel processor. So, and I don't know if we have had the M1 out in the wild long enough for people to spend the kind of time and, you know, live with time that they really need in order for people to say, yeah, you know what, I'm bumping up against limits editing 4K video on an M1 machine all the time, and it's really hard to do. So I'm curious if maybe 16 gig was an insult if you had an Intel processor, but now that Apple's managing the whole thing, maybe 16 gig isn't the insult that it used to be.
Right. You might want to take a look at Activity Monitor and kind of monitor your daily life for a week or so and see what kind of memory utilization you're getting in your Activity Monitor. you know, businesses and scientists do this all the time.
Yeah.
They look at their machines and they know pretty much what kind of tools are going to be required to use and what kind of memory they're going to be required to have. And you know, if you're trying to edit a 4 gigabyte image, you might not want to buy a machine with 8 gigabytes of RAM. Mm-hmm. So
that would make a certain amount of sense. But I wonder if you would be well served by a 16 gigabyte M1 machine, where maybe a 16 gigabyte Intel machine would not be as ideal a tool for you. So that's my question about that is, would that work or would that not work?
The other thing to note is that you still have the 27 inch Mac iMac. The 27 inch iMac is still running on Intel. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to go look and see what the capability there is. Let me check that out real quick.
Well, I'll look at it while you talk about it, because it used to be that you could get the 27 inch machine in larger capacities. And part of that, of course, is because it's still an Intel machine. So if you were going
to 120, you can buy a 27 inch iMac with an Intel i7 mm-hmm. for a whole lot more money, but you can put 128 gigabytes of RAM in it. So the M1 iMac with 16 gigabytes of RAM is a casual machine for students, home users, browsing, Zoom, and so on. And the lesson here is not to get too excited about stuffing a lot of horsepower or RAM into a small machine like this. And I think the color choices kind of give it away. It's a fun desktop machine.
So you're one of those people. Loaded. I see
and,
how it is.
It's all the kind of machine I need for the purpose I'm going to buy.
Right. Well,
but I still wish I could get 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Well, I just got a new iPad Pro. I got an M1 iPad Pro, and I can't choose a color in it. And that bums me out. I can have silver or dark silver, and that's it. I can't have a blue one or a red one. I would really like a red one. But the Pro ones don't come in nice colors, and I'm kind of bummed out about that. But I'm not bummed out about my new iPad. I adore my new iPad. Yeah, so that's a separate conversation for another day. But I think the colors are nice, and I'm glad they brought them back. That was one of the things that I always really enjoyed about the CRT iMacs before everything went flat was they were colorful, and I liked having something that looked a little nicer and wasn't just another plain looking machine. Right, especially if it was going to take up that much space on your desk, because they were CRT computers. Ask your parents what a CRT is, kids. And if it was going to be that much room on your desk and take up that much real estate, like, it should look nice. And I liked that they were colorful and interesting and not just sort of beige and plain and blah, you know, or black. Like, everything now is black. And so,
have you seen the iMac commercials on TV, maybe during a hockey game or something?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that the Apple logo at the end is the rainbow logo again?
Yes, it's the, well, almost, because it's the new iMac colors, and I think it's missing one, or one of them isn't correct. A bunch of people have been very upset about it, but I'm glad the icon is colorful again. That pleases me. I was sad to see it go, to be honest.
Everything old is new again, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I liked that it was colorful. I liked that it was different, you know? Not a lot of logos for corporations are very colorful. It's usually like one color or two sometimes, and you don't get a lot of color from a lot of them. So I always liked that Apple's stood out. I have a soft spot for it. In fact, I am recording this podcast in a room with 3 Think Different posters in it that each have the multicolor Apple logo on the top. And it makes me very happy when I walk in here every day and get to look at them. So there you go. If you want to know which 3 they are, you can email observations@macobserver.com and I'll tell you. You can also email us if you have questions about other stuff or questions for John. I want to make sure we get that in there. If you want to find out more from John about this stuff, observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So my question for you, John, is knowing that you are, I don't think it's an urgent need. So I don't think you need a new Mac. I think you are in the market for a new Mac. Would you pull the trigger on one of these M1 IMAX, or are you going to pull the trigger on a 27-inch so you can have an Intel machine and a whole bunch of RAM, or are you going to wait until the M2 and see if those come with 32 gigabytes, or...
Well, I'm not quite sure what Apple's going to be doing with the 27-inch iMac. I assume they're going to go to M1 on the 27-inch. It might have a bigger display. It might be worth 29 inches because of a smaller bezel, just like the 24-inch.
Yeah.
And so that will definitely switch over. But now is the opportunity, you know, if you want, if you're in, on the fence and you think the 24-inch iMac is cute and colorful, but you suspect that you may need more power down the road, you might want to jump on the Intel 27-inch iMac now before they disappear and they're not available anymore.
Yeah, because as we've seen...
Put 64 gig of RAM in and be done.
Well, and as we've seen, Apple's not making a big deal about end-of-lifing some of this stuff. So there's like a press release that says HomePods are done. There's a press release that says iMac Pro is done. So if you are looking for one of those devices, now is a good time. And the thing that I will point out is I've had a few different conversations with people about this. And so this is sort of my thinking on this. If I'm sort of, you know, when I'm technologically counseling people on making these sort of decisions. And that is, Apple said that they were going to spend about 24 months rolling out the M1 processors to all of the machines, so that it was going to take them 2 years to get everything into Apple Silicon. Not necessarily an M1. I'm of the opinion that eventually what's going to happen is it's going to be enough machines, it's going to be enough time that the first model of something is going to be the M2. You know, maybe the big iMacs are going to be M2 iMacs instead of M1
well
or something.
Yep, yep.
So that's my theory on that. So we are about 6 to 8 months into that transition. So it's at least another year and a half before everything that Apple makes that is the current model is going to be Apple Silicon. And that means at least one more release of operating system. We'll get something new, a new version of macOS this fall, probably one more before all is said and done. And we know that Apple tends to support, like with security updates and things, which you and I talk about all the time. Apple tends to support the current shipping operating system and usually two back. So if it's a big enough security hole in something that's happening in Mojave right now, they'll support it. They'll release the patch for that. So if you want to make sure that you're running a supported operating system and all of that, if you bought an Intel Mac today, and say you keep your machines for 5 years, you're going to be well into that window when it's time to get a new machine. So if you keep them for a lot longer, there may be a different buying decision to make. But if what you're looking for is, you know, support for that machine and making sure it's sort of current for 5 or 6 years, you can buy an Intel machine today and not have to worry about that window really at all. So that's a thing to consider, because I know a lot of people have sort of been nervous about buying Intel machines, and you don't necessarily have to be at this point. Now, this fall, when we're a year into that that 2 year transition, it might be a little different proposition. But at least for right now and over the summer, like, it's probably still, you know, a coin toss. If there's something appealing about the Apple Silicon one to you, go for it. If you really think that what you need is something that Intel can provide you, then go for that. And it's not going to really materially affect you by the end of the computer's life, basically. So
the way I'm saying that is the mantra that Bob Levitis and Dave Hamilton and I all provide our listeners. When you need a machine and you really need it, buy it now.
Yes.
And don't fuss about trying to optimize.
Buy what you need now. Yeah.
Second guess yourself. If you need a new machine, get it now. It'll be a useful machine for a long time.
Right. And that's what I mean is, you know, if what you want is the big silver iMac, but you're worried about it being Intel, don't worry about it being Intel. If that's the thing you need, then get the thing you need and it'll be the right tool for the job for a long time. Maybe the entire time you have it, you know, depends on what your upgrade path looks like and all that kind of stuff. You know, I know a number of people, in fact, who have upgraded very old machines to an iPad. You know, we started at the beginning when I was talking about technological honesty.
The other rule I use is don't skimp. if you have a decision to make, spend the money up front. Don't try to optimize. If you're trying for a low-cost machine, that's fine. But don't skim to the point where it's bare bones and it has no growth potential. So you could buy an iMac with maybe a 256 SSD for storage. Don't do that. Go to 512.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's hard to it's hard to imagine what everything's going to look like, you know, years from now, except for have a little bit of, you know, have a little bit of extra more storage than you have now, a little bit more memory than you have now. I tend to hold on to my machines for longer than a couple of years, so I will put a little more RAM, or back when that was a choice, a little nicer graphics card, that sort of thing. So, yeah, try and spend it where you can to make sure that, that the stuff that you value is going to continue to be functional for you into the future. So, I think so. So, are you going to hold out for one of those future iMacs then, John? The 21 is too small a screen, so it's easy to wait.
When you get into it, the decision has been made for me. It takes a little bit of manipulation and operational control over a machine, plugging things in, you know, using the mouse, configuring the machine, unpacking stuff. So when my arm gets a little stronger, I think I'll be ready to make a decision, but not yet.
Well, is the 24 automatically off the table because it's only a 24-inch screen? I know how you love your acreage when it comes to monitors.
No, and I don't think it's off the table because of 16 gigabytes either. Because of the kinds of things I do, on that machine, it's not my work machine. It's a different kind of machine. It's used for different purposes, and the kinds of things I use it for, I can probably get away with 16 gigabytes of RAM, even though it annoys me greatly.
Well, I'll give you a guest pass to my meditation app, and you can let it go. You can just breathe through it. It'll be fine. We'll get through it together.
Although if they come out with an M2 27-inch iMac that has a 30-inch display in actuality, so a 30-inch display and an M2 and 32 gigabytes of RAM, I think I would probably be really steered towards that.
That's my question. Yeah. So
I have time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was wondering was if you would dismiss the 24 out of hand because it's not enough screen. So you're automatically going to wait for whatever they do with the larger model.
No, considering what I do with that 21 and a half right now, the 24 is a fine screen.
Okay. Yeah. I just know how you like your screens. So that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, if you have more questions for John or if you want to tell him about the joyous experience you are having with your new M1 iMac, we would love to hear it. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or just leave comments in the show notes. We take all feedback
send me
equally.
Tweet at Jay Martellaro.
Or you can get John at Jay Martellaro. Apparently, he's hanging out on Twitter again. So there you go. John, thanks so much for coming by. You know I love when you're here with me. Even though it's not Monday, I'm glad you were able to make time in your busy schedule for me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.